The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hi, it's Dr. Will Cole. This podcast is the manifesto for a new breed of health seekers. This is the art of being well. What's up and welcome to the art of being well. I'm a leading functional medicine doctor. I get to consult people around the world via telehealth, and I'm a New York Times bestselling author. If you want to learn more about my clinical work, the telehealth center, we have brand new telehealth patient options open right now and lots of free resources for you to reclaim your health. It's all at drwillcole.com. That's drwillcole.com. And listeners, we're giving away free healthy stuff almost every episode. Today's the day. All you have to do for a chance to win is head on over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review The Art of Being Well there. No matter when you listen to this episode, you could leave your Instagram handle in the Apple Podcast review, or you could take a screenshot of that review and message me on Instagram. Say hello to me at Dr. Will Cole. And every single month, my team and I will be going through the Apple Podcast reviews themselves, as well as the messages on Instagram, and randomly picking winners. And you can pick what you want. We're giving away free signed books. We're giving away free supplement protocol stacks that we have at drwillcole.com. We're giving away free functional medicine telehealth consults. You can choose what you want if you win. Good luck. All right, let's get to today's guest. His name is Patrick Schwarzenegger. Activism, acting, and entrepreneurship are in Patrick Schwarzenegger's DNA. He thoughtfully balances each passion through his work as an Alzheimer's advocate, actor, investor, and now food founder. As a successful entrepreneur, Patrick is known for his trend-spotting abilities in the better-for-you food and beverage industry. He's an active investor and advisor to numerous brands in the CPG space, including the 350-plus fast casual Blaze Pizza, the fastest-growing coffee company Super Coffee, the recently Unilever-acquired Liquid IV, Simulate, and many more. Patrick is committed to helping founders scale their emerging businesses to the next level. And now he is betting on himself, along with his mother, Maria Shriver, to do just that with the launch of their new brain health brand, Mosh. Let's get right to it. This is Patrick Schwarzenegger's Art of Being Well. Patrick, my friend, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. It's long overdue. I've been circling around. We've been talking about this and it's finally happening.
Yeah, man. I'm excited to talk and thank you for having me on here. And I know it feels like we've been exchanging emails and messages for years now. So I'm glad to be here.
It's finally happening. So, I mean, let's start. I would love to start with your health journey specifically, or maybe your interest in health, interested in wellness. Where did it start for you personally?
Oof. Well, growing up with kind of my dad, who was a bodybuilder and someone that was took nutrition and health and fitness extremely seriously.
I was going to say, is it because it was the same for me? Like my dad was the guy, and obviously your dad being who he is, kind of the pinnacle of that. If you resisted it at first, like, something.
Well, I was going to say it was there's one side of it, which is the kind of the training and the physical aspect, but it was the other side of it, which was just like, I always say that our house was like the lamest kitchen and pantry for all of my friends. You know, we had like, It was like oatmeal, eggs, milk, and like meat. You know, it was like, we had no sugary cereals. We had no cookies or desserts or any of that kind of stuff. So I think that I grew up in this household that took nutrition in a very serious way. And then when my parents split and I got a little bit older and I moved out of the house, I started to buy, groceries for myself. And I started to get really into fitness and training and working out. And I kind of was going out to the grocery store looking for healthier alternatives, looking for foods that were satisfying and delicious that also had high in protein and low in sugar and, you know, were cleaner sources of food. And I really struggled to find that. And that's kind of what started my business side of health and wellness, where, you know, I went out looking for other, you know, entrepreneurs that were tackling this issue, that we're providing Americans with healthier alternatives in the consumer space. So we've got about 20 different companies that are all in that space, from hydration powders to food products to actual retail stores and to gyms and everything like that. So I would say just my love and interest started as a struggling consumer. And then the fitness side of it, you know, I gained interest with it as time went on, and I became a teenager and, you know, high school and hormones and testosterone and everything probably came together. But yeah, it's been for a long time.
Amazing. Now that obviously I think talking to you now about this stuff, and I grew up, my dad was a bodybuilder, obviously not Arnold Schwarzenegger, but was like a professional, semi-professional bodybuilder. And I, in the 90s, and I thought it was normal to have your dad like lubed up with baby oil and like a turquoise Speedo, you know? It's a weird world.
Not?
I mean, but what's that? Is it not, right? Apparently not. I found out a little bit later. It was strange. But I mean, that's a weird world. I mean, the bodybuilding world, especially at that time, was super strange. It's still going on, I know, but I think it was at its apex in your dad's time, and right? I mean, it's evolved over the years.
Oh, it's completely evolved. I mean, you know, my dad growing up and you know, when he was a serious bodybuilder, they call that kind of the golden era, but that was the real first time that it got put on the map in a very large way. I mean, there were bodybuilders before him, you know, Reg Park and people that he looked up to. And then I think that him and Franco and you know, they made it kind of a more of a mass appeal, coming to LA, coming to Venice Beach, to Muscle Beach, and kind of coining that. I mean, it was always my dad's goal to push bodybuilding to the masses and to get people to think about health and wellness in a way that they never did. And if you look at how the industry has changed, you know, from stories he tells me from when he was a kid, or even when he was in his 20s or 30s, you know, people thought he was a freak because he had muscles. You know, it wasn't a normal thing then. Now, I mean, it's, you have gyms on pretty much in any city, whether you're a major city or not. They're in all different hotels. Health and wellness is a massive multi-billion dollar business, from the food side to the actual gymnasium side. I mean, it's just grown tremendously. I mean, my dad just had the Arnold Classic this last weekend in Ohio with, you know, I think a couple hundred thousand people show up. It's like the Super Bowl, but for bodybuilding. And, you know, the cash prizes are at an all-time high. The attendance rates are at an all-time high. People's interest in the sport of bodybuilding, but also just health and wellness as a whole, you know, it's a trend that's grown tremendously. And I think it has the longevity and people's, you know, the different age ranges, and then the data, right? I mean, the actual data showcasing, you know, what bodybuilding or what, you know, weight training and resistance training does for your mood, for your bones, for your joints, for your overall, you know, longevity health is really great.
Yeah. No doubt. For brain health specifically, I know your interest in that happened because of a grandparent, right? I mean, can you tell me about that and what they've gone through? And so many people are impacted by dementia and seeing a loved one go through dementia or Alzheimer's. What was that like for you?
Yeah. I mean, I lost my grandfather to Alzheimer's. It runs in our family. You know, it's something that my mom has been extremely dedicated towards for the last 20 plus years, really since her father was diagnosed with it. And really, there wasn't much information out there on Alzheimer's as a whole or any of the brain-related diseases. And she was a reporter at the time and worked with NBC. And so my mom, if you know her, she's very much of like, okay, I need to figure out all the details and I need to understand why is this, what is Alzheimer's? Why is there not that much research done? And also, she was really interested as to why there was no research done on the female brain. All the research that was done on the male brain, whether that was in a human form or in a, you know, a rat or mice form. And so she started the Women's Alzheimer's Movement, which solely focused on funding research towards the female brain. And why was it that women were 2/3 of the cases of Alzheimer's, and it was disproportionately affecting, you know, minorities and people of color? And so she really wanted to figure that out. And she partnered with the Cleveland Clinic to start the largest brain health institute in Northern America. And for me, it was obviously an eye-opening experience to watch my grandfather have Alzheimer's and how it impacted his life over the course of the last, you know, few years of his life. And also, it was just very intriguing of why he couldn't remember a lot of things, but could remember, you know, prayers perfectly, or remember certain songs at church perfectly, or, you know, so many different things. But so my mom really is the one that's spent so much time and effort and money towards Alzheimer's research. And my love for fitness and for health and for wellness, our two worlds kind of collided. I moved back home with my mom during COVID, and I was just learning from her of how much diet impacts the brain and the mind. And it was one of the three or top four pillars of what impacts brain health and Alzheimer's. And it can be either detrimental, you know, sugar is something that is very detrimental towards brain health, or there are things that could positively impact your brain. And so that's kind of what started Mosh, which we'll talk about, but was basically like, okay, how do we educate consumers about what they eat impacts their brain health? And how can we positively impact consumers at scale and also raise awareness and raise money for Alzheimer's research while doing that? So I know that's a long-winded answer of just, you know, it's a personal experience that I had as well with over time learning what impacts that we're in the driver's seat, that there are things that we can do today that can impact our brain health tomorrow or in 5 years or in 10 years from now. And I just got really interested in the space.
Yeah.
Having started the first functional medicine telehealth center in the world over 14 years ago, we want to provide our telehealth patients the best of the best as far as protocols, labs, resources for people to reclaim their health, and also integrate other brilliant tools within telehealth when people need it. And mental health care is one of those categories. And something that we talk a lot about in the podcast is mental health is physical health. One of the tools that we love at the telehealth clinic as far as mental health telehealth care is Talkspace. Talkspace is mental health care made easy and affordable. With Talkspace, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours. It makes mental health care accessible, affordable. It's incredibly convenient to have virtual sessions with your licensed therapist from the comfort of your home or on your lunch break. There's no need to commute to appointments, miss time at work, or line up childcare in order to attend sessions. Talkspace lets you send messages to your therapist. You don't have to wait for your next session. Talkspace can help with any specific challenges you might be facing. It's the number one online therapy platform with licensed therapists in over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, substance abuse, relationship issues, and so much more. As a listener of this podcast, you'll get $80 off your first month of Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com/ABW and enter promo code SPACE80. To match up with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/ABW and enter promo code SPACE80 to get $80 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's Talkspace.com/ABW, promo code SPACE80. So I'm a pragmatist as a functional medicine doctor. I personally don't drink alcohol, but for my patients that do not want to be teetotaling Puritans like myself, I love this tool for their toolbox. It's ZBiotics. You have to check it out. Because let's face it, after a night with drinks, if you don't bounce back the next day like you used to, you have to make a choice. You can either drink or not drink. And if you choose to drink, is there a way for you to feel great the next day? And yes, there is with ZBiotics. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct in the gut, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break down this toxic byproduct. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, of course, and you'll feel your best tomorrow when you do this. Vacations, weddings, birthdays, and reunions. Oh my, there's so much going on, right? No matter what time of the year. Get the most out of your spring plans by stocking up on pre-alcohol right now. Go to zbiotics.com/WillCole to get 15% off your first order when you use WillCole at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, which you won't be, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/WillCole. Use the code WillCole at checkout for 15% off. Thank you so much, Zbiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times. How old were you when your grandfather was going through that?
Man, that was like, I mean, from when he first got it was, you know, early 2000s. So I guess that was almost 20 years ago, 10 years old.
Okay.
You know, and
growing up, seeing your grandfather, you probably, you know, looked up to some degree, I'm assuming. How long was that struggle? I mean, how long was he going through that?
I think he had it total for about a decade. And it's, you know, there's a, it can start one way and it can progress quite rapidly into another degree of things. So, I mean, you know, we saw it go from the beginning to the end. Obviously, towards the end was a lot more tense and dramatic and, you know, really hard to watch. And I couldn't imagine it from my mom's side. You know, I mean, if I were to put that in my shoes of watching my dad have it, it's heartbreaking and it's a struggle for sure. But, you know, more and more data and research has come out. There's been more and more, you know, medicine towards helping alleviate symptoms of Alzheimer's and prolonging it. I think this last year, just the first time the FDA approved the drug for Alzheimer's, if I'm not mistaken. But furthermore, we know that there are other things that we can do, which is, you know, diet is a big thing, working out, utilizing the brain, socializing, communication. So there are things that we know now that, you know, can positively impact someone's brain health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was going to kind of, we can get into now. A lot of people, old science was that, you know, if your mom had it, your dad had it, your grandparents had it, like it was basically predestined. You didn't wield any influence on your health. It was probably going to happen. And now we know, as you kind of referenced, the science of epigenetics and these things are, we wield a lot of agency and influence over the expression of our genetic predispositions.
Right.
So can you talk about like, what do you do? What did your research as you were diving into equipping people with tools to support brain health? You mentioned diet. Like what specific food changes have you learned to be supportive of brain health and decreasing risk factors? Let's start there with food.
Yeah. I mean, there are, as I said, the research comes out, you know, more and more, but I know that they've done a lot of research towards whether that, you know, some people call it the Mediterranean diet or the blue zone areas or places that are, you know, low in the processed foods, lower in added sugars, refined sugars specifically, places that are high in nutritional fats, you know, fatty fishes, meats, high in protein. Yeah, that's pretty much, It sounds quite simplistic, but that's what I've seen and what I've read. Especially as you look towards the places that have, you know, the longevity zones, longevity blue zones around the world and things that they've eaten. But that's kind of what we talk to the most about. And then you can get into more specifics about why sugar does what it does. And you can talk about specific carbs or things that spike your insulin or different foods that have a different reaction towards people's, you know, blood sugar spikes, things of that nature. But from a whole, from a kind of more holistic side is low in sugar, high in healthy nutrient fats and high in protein.
Mm-hmm. And then there's this category that everybody loves, easy grab and go snack options. You look at the protein bar, snack bar aisle, it is filled with so many different things to choose from that I'd love to break down like what the potential problems are with a lot of protein bars on the market and how you set that apart to bring this really important category of snacks, but in a way that's supportive of brain health.
Yeah. So, I mean, to rewind a little bit, it was when I was living with my mom, like I said, and I was kind of watching her take certain, you know, vitamins and supplements and things in the day. And she's a protein bar fanatic. I mean, so much so that she pretty much eats multiple a day and she tries to give them up for Lent to challenge herself. And finally, I said to her, you know, why don't you create something that is for your age range, that's for your type of a consumer, and that raises money for Alzheimer's, that educates consumers about what they're eating impacts their brain health, and fill it with ingredients that you would want, that you would, you know, put in your body, and that is, you know, representative of something that is good for brain and body health. and I'm happy to help you. I've been in this food category space for a while. I'm happy to get it off the ground for you. And, you know, I'm really interested in it as well. Brain health is growing as a trend and as a space as a whole. And people that are my age are starting to get more and more into, you know, brain health and body health and optimization and longevity and, you know, all these different things. So that's how Mosh was born. And it took a long time to get it off the ground because it was really tough to put a lot of these different ingredients that we have in the bar from just being high in protein, high in fiber, no added sugar. You know, it's 1 gram of sugar. They're pretty low calorie, 150, 160 calories, which was something my mom was really adamant about for her for a snack. You know, high in healthy nutrient fats. Almonds are the number one ingredient. At the time, we had MCT in it. We have omegas in it now, flax seeds, and, you know, functional mushrooms like lion's mane, ashwagandha, vitamin B12, vitamin D3, things that most Americans are deficient in. So it was hard to get all of these different ingredients packed into a bar that still tasted good. That was the biggest problem. Was in the beginning, we were giving people these amazing, extremely high cost little bites, but they just did not taste good. So we had to go back and reformulate and rework it so that it actually tasted good. But yeah, that's how we kind of created it. And it's been a lot of fun and it's been, you know, a huge success. It's been amazing to watch how fast it's grown and, you know, how many millions of bars we've sold. And the coolest part is that we raise money. You know, we now have grants that go specifically towards researching what foods and how foods impact brain health. That's what the grants go towards. So it's kind of a cool full circle moment. And yeah, it's been fun to watch it grow.
Amazing. Your purpose-driven intention towards Mosh and wanting quality ingredients first, like higher protein, lower sugar, fiber, the functional mushrooms, the adaptogens. I imagine you did have to go through a lot of iterations to then also make it taste good because people have to eat these things and you want people to enjoy it. How many iterations did you go through and how bad was the worst tasting bar iteration?
I would say hundreds, and it doesn't stop. I mean, we still are, because we're making updates to our product right now and we're adding even more brain health attributes like acetylcholine, you know, additive to it to help, you know, bolster both on the claim side and actual the effectiveness side. So, I mean, we try new products probably every few weeks, but I would say over the course of the last 4 years, because we were starting it 2 years before we even launched, a year and a half before we launched, hundreds of bars. I've got so many videos of my mom trying bars, and I have a video somewhere on my phone of her trying the first one ever that we got. And she just took a bite and she went, no, just like that. But the other thing that was really tough is to get it to be affordable. It's not, you know, right. My mom's goal is to be for the masses and to be everywhere. That's her vision and her dream, and to have multiple product lines down the road that speak towards brain and body health. So she wants powder, she wants, you know, hydration, she wants effervescence, she wants tea or coffees or olive oil, you know, all these different things. But in the end of the day, it's tough when you're making this bar and you're like, we want grass-fed whey protein. We want, you know, these almonds. We want, you know, such and such. And they're like, you get the cost and you're like, shit, this bar is going to come out to $5. No one's going to buy this. Mm-hmm. And especially when you have these larger conglomerates that are making these products for pennies, you know, that have bars, you know, like you said in the beginning, a lot of bars that are out on the shelf are just filled with, you know, crap. It's just like sugar and, you know, rice and something else and ingredients you've never heard of. But so that took a lot of work to get it to a place that we're still premium. We're still over, you know, around $3, but it's really hard to get it price down with the ingredients that we have.
Right. Oh man. So let's talk about that. Is there anything, because it's a balancing act. Okay. Let's maximum benefit. You want this to actually be supportive of somebody's health and something you can stand behind, but also cost. Is there anything that you at this point had to cut out because it's nice in theory, but it's too expensive?
No, we had to cut out some of our MCTs because of just the ability for it to get rancid faster in the bar form. So that was the only thing that we really had to take out. You know, like I said, we have new iterations coming out this summer that have some more ingredients in it. You know, like I said, the acetylcholine, which adds some more cost to it. But you know, the feedback that we got and the opinions that we really valued were that, you know, you try to make the best product possible. And if the consumer's there and they care about it and they care about brain and body health, that they'll end up spending a little bit more to do it.
Yeah.
And so that's what we've done. And we do get, that is our number one complaint, is that the price is high. And I hope as time goes on and as we can make, you know, build this brand from, you know, into a $50 million revenue business, that, you know, you get economies of scale and we can bring the cost down. But in the early days, it's really hard. And, you know, we're a mission-driven company. So our goal is not to maximize profits. So we can do things that, you know, we're not even selling it at the price that we technically should sell it at to be an optimized business. But we do things that's best for the mission, which is to put this product out there and educate consumers and raise money and awareness. So, but it's been, you learn stuff every day about this industry.
Yeah. I can only imagine. So, I mean, it's that thing of, that's why education is so important, right? Because I 100% see that for the past 14 years in this functional medicine wellness space, because people will pay money when it's good quality, and they'd rather get good quality things and know good things do cost more sometimes. Because look at the level of chronic health problems, brain health, neurodegenerative issues, but also metabolic issues too. So I absolutely agree. But, and like you said, you could actually be charging a lot more when you look at comparable brands, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you do look at some of these other brands that you're next to. And it's funny because now that I've been in this space for so long, I know what certain ingredients cost. And I go and I look at other products and I'm like, how are they doing this? Or wow, they're really overcharging for what someone's getting. You know, you start to look at it in such a different way. But I mean, again, our goal is to hopefully create other product lines, but it's to really get people thinking about their brain and body health. And our product is not perfect. I mean, it's not a product that's going to, that, like, we're not pushing a message of eat our Mosh bars and it's going to fix your brain health, or it's going to, you know, reverse, you know, Alzheimer's or something. That's just not true. What we're there to do is to get people to think about eating in a way that is better for your brain health, that does not have, you know, sugar, that has high healthy nutrient fats, high amounts of protein, and just the way that my mom and through the research has said this is beneficial towards, but in no way, shape, or form is it going to, it's not a magic bar that's going to fix something.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't that be nice? Maybe that's the next startup.
Well, you never know. Some people online say crazy stuff about their marketing and such.
Overstatements for sure.
Yeah.
Have you heard about Senolytics yet? We've talked about it on the show. If you've been paying attention, if you don't know, it's a class of ingredients discovered less than 10 years ago, and they're being called the biggest discovery of our time for promoting healthy aging and enhancing your physical prime. Your life goals and your career and beyond require productivity. They require for you to be focused, have the energy to do the things you're called to do. But let's be honest, the aging process, it's not our friend sometimes when it comes to endless energy and productivity and cognitive function. That's why I love Qualia Senolytic. If someone would have told me that there are science-backed ingredients that would help me feel 15 years younger in a matter of months, I wouldn't have believed it. Then I tried Qualia Senolytic. As we age, everyone accumulates senescent cells in their body. Think of senescent cells like zombie cells. That's what they're called in the scientific literature. They release these pro-inflammatory cytokines. They are old and worn out, dysfunctional cells. And much like pruning the yellowing and dead leaves off of a plant, senolytic activity helps to recycle down these dysfunctional zombie cells. Qualia Senolytic removes those worn out senescent cells to allow for the rest of them to thrive in the body. Take it just 2 days a month. That's all you have to do. You're going to notice higher energy levels, feeling 15 years younger, more productive, enthusiastic in life, less aches and pains as far as joint pain is concerned. Resist aging at the cellular level. Try Qualia Senolytic. Go to neurohacker.com/WillCole for up to $100 off and use code WillCole at checkout for an additional 15% off. That's neurohacker.com/WillCole for an extra 15% off your purchase. Thanks to Neurohacker for sponsoring today's episode. The CDC estimates that there are approximately 96 million American adults, more than 1 in 3 people, have prediabetes. Of those with prediabetes, more than 80% don't even know they have it. Why does this matter? Foods high in carbohydrates raise our blood sugar more than other foods. During digestion, the pancreas produces insulin, which then binds the sugar in the blood and takes it into the cells as a source of energy. If you have prediabetes, if you're somewhere on that insulin-resistant inflammation spectrum, sugar begins to build up in the bloodstream rather than fuel our cells. This is when insulin resistance occurs, which is the number one underlying driver of prediabetes. Signos can help you short-circuit this cycle by using data directly from your body to design a weight loss and wellness plan that's unique to your lifestyle. Signos is the only company that combines a CGM, a continuous glucose monitor, with an AI-driven app to deliver real-time glucose monitoring for optimal health and weight management. With Signos, you can literally see which foods cause your blood sugar to spike above reasonable levels and get real-time alerts to do a bit of exercise or stress management or optimizing your sleep to bring them back down. On average, people make about 227 food choices a day. You can learn the difference between stress eating and physical hunger, better manage your energy throughout the day, and optimize your sleep better at night. Signos removes the guesswork of weight loss and wellness and provides you with the tools and knowledge you need to develop healthier habits. It combines your glucose data from your CGM, your continuous glucose monitor, with an AI-driven app to deliver you real-time glucose results for optimal health and weight management. Right now, Signos has an exclusive offer for our listeners. Go to signos.com, that's signos.com, and get up to 20% off select plans by using code WILLCOLE today. That's signos.com, use code WILLCOLE to get up to 20% off select plans for you today. The two ingredients you mentioned, lion's mane and ashwagandha, can you highlight those for people that maybe are unaware and like how what's studies show and how it can be supportive of brain health and mood, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, we have to be very careful at the end of the day, since we are a food product, we're not a supplement. Mm-hmm. We can only kind of tell people to go and do their own research when it comes to lion's mane or ashwagandha, which are functional, you know, mushrooms and have grown tremendously in popularity and in, you know, in research and consumption, especially across the last 5 or 10 years. But there have been research papers and links towards a bunch of different brain and body health attributes from both of those mushrooms and multiple other mushrooms that are not included in a mosh bar. But yeah, I mean, lion's mane has been linked to things with inflammation, to memory, to long-term brain health. And again, all could be, not saying that they do, but and ashwagandha, you see that utilized in a lot of different ways now, from even in a lot of my friends and men take it for help with their testosterone help, to calming agencies. You know, people use it at night or in the afternoon, mixed with L-theanine and other ingredients to help relax the mind. But yeah, they're obviously really great functional mushrooms that have been linked to a lot of different health attributes in the brain and the body.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about earlier overstating, where people like overstate, make these broad sweeping, exaggerative, hyperbolic statements of benefits. And then, like you said, you're in the snack or food industry, not the supplement industry. And there's so much word policing going on where these things are beneficial, but you have to err on the side of being as conservative as possible to not overstate. Is that, that's probably, I know it's tough in my space. It's probably tough in your space too.
It's really tough. I mean, but you know, I understand it. I understand what they're, you know, trying to do and what they're trying to regulate. And there are things that we can say that are, you know, proven from, you know, if you have a certain amount of protein per, you know, per total calories of the bar, you can say you're high in protein, or however much fiber. If you hit the 20% daily value threshold, you can say you're high in fiber. And then you can, you know, say other things about this can help build muscle, or it can, you know, whatever. But when it comes to these functional mushrooms, the biggest problem is that it's not, those mushrooms don't, there aren't clinical doses, right? So you can't say many claims because there are not, there's not a daily value
Determined. Got it.
Yeah. So it's hard for, that's why, you know, in the supplement space, people can kind of just get away with making stuff up or just putting it in a proprietary blend or whatever that is. But
right. For food, it could be trace amounts of it in there.
Food products, we can't technically say because no daily value. So then you can't technically make a claim because you don't know what the percentage of a normal daily dose is and so on. Right. So we can say that it's included in there and what those ingredients have been linked to, but we can't say that our bar does that based on those.
Right. But then the tough thing is that it probably never will. Because it's a whole food, right? It's like a mushroom.
Yeah.
And there won't ever be a percentage determined. It's just a weird space of striking a balance of being, of speaking about these things. If you had to pick your favorite flavor, what would be, well, go through all the flavors and then tell us your favorite.
Oh man, my favorite is the chocolate chip cookie dough and the lemon white chocolate. I brought boxes of them. I have one here with me to Thailand. So I crush them all the time at night as kind of like my little after dinner dessert. And, but yeah, my mom, she's been more partial towards the plant-based peanut butter chocolate chip recently, but she's a peanut butter fanatic. So she does the peanut butter chocolate chip and the peanut butter. And I like the lemon white chocolate and the cookie dough. Those are my go-to ones.
I'm a peanut butter fiend too, man. It's something about peanut butter.
Peanut butter is really good. I do love peanut butter. I could have peanut butter all day.
What's your favorite peanut butter? If you, not the bar, but just like if you'd go to the grocery store, where would you...
Top. I don't even know. I couldn't tell you what brand. I usually go. I mean, I try to go and I do like the things at Whole Foods where you press the button and it grinds it
right
in front of you and you can get the just the plain peanut butter one or the honey roasted one or something like that. But as far as peanut butter goes, you have to look at the back. I mean, some of them are like, you know, we grew up on Jif and Skippy and stuff like that. And it's, you know, hydrogenated oils and canola oil and salt, sugar. You know, peanuts are like the fourth ingredient. So, you know, it's ridiculous, but I mostly try to get one that's just like peanuts and sea salt or something, or like, you know, two or three ingredients max, try not to have the different oils and things in there.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Yeah.
But I good grew tips, up on all tips. The other, you know, but that's the thing. When I was a kid, like, and same with you, right? Like all we had was, you know, Peter Pan, Skippy, or Jif. There was no one looked at the ingredient panels like they do now.
No. Yeah, now you had to go to the crunchy co-op and get it. Now there's so many more options.
Yeah.
Better for you, peanut butter options.
It's great.
And so many other different types of food. Yeah, it's great for sure.
Right? Justin's was like the cool big almond butter, peanut butter, you know, company that came out of nowhere. But now there's so many. I mean, you go to the aisles and there's so many different ones.
So many. Yeah. What for you personally, let's go through your wellness routine. You mentioned like this being such a massive part of your life. What time do you wake up? What's your morning look like? Let's start there.
Well, right now I'm filming. So like tomorrow I'll get up at maybe 4:30, 4:45 a.m. I won't work out because I'll be filming all day. But today I did not have work. So I got up at 7 and had I usually eat something a little bit before I go work out. I have a coffee, black coffee. I go and I say my prayers, my gratitude, kind of just... Yeah, my gratitude list of what I'm thankful for and thanking God for the day and for my life and my health and my ability to go and be able to work out. And then I go and do usually weight training. I try to switch it up every few weeks from kind of lower rep to high rep to just a HIIT workout. So I try to work out at least 5 or 6 days a week. And then I'm addicted to try to get at least 10,000 steps every day with my Apple Watch. and then today I went and swam some laps down in the pool here at the hotel. And that was my fitness side. If I'm back in LA, it's a little more routine, which is very important to me, is trying to go to sleep at the exact same time every night, wake up at the same time every day. And I always start my morning, like I said, with a walk outside to get some sunlight for coffee and to pray. And then I go and work out. I try to do we have an infrared sauna and an ice bath at the house that I try to do at least the sauna a couple days a week. Mm-hmm. And then I go to the office. So
you mentioned prayer. Were you raised Catholic or Christian?
Yeah. We were raised Catholic, you know, went to church every Sunday and, you know, was baptized and grew up going to Sunday school and, you know, yeah. And then it kind of became more and more important to me as I got older. And I just think that it means the world to me of spending a couple minutes every day and praying and thanking for just the life I have, and you know, yeah, trying to find clarity in my, what I'm supposed to do in my life and the impact I'm supposed to give towards other people and to this earth, and just always asking for that clarity and the confidence, and thanking for my health. Mm-hmm. Literally thank for my health. Thank God every day for it. Because we take it for granted, and even small things like, you know, I've had shoulder surgeries, I've had hip surgery, I've had my ups and downs with some accidents and injuries, and just not being able to do those little, you know, workouts or walks or things like that just kill me. So it's, yeah, I just try to find time in my day every day to be grateful for the position I'm in.
Yeah. Amen. That's amazing. Have you ever heard about Quince before? Man, I love this brand. Picture a wardrobe upgrade with quality essentials at an unbeatable price. Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all the must-haves like Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50, iconic 100% leather jackets, and versatile flow-knit activewear. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories. That's why I love this brand. They only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that so much. Some of my favorite items from Quince, or I recommend everybody do, is right now, go to their Spring Selects and look at this line. They have things like the 100% European linen short sleeve, which is great. They have their flow knit breeze performance polos, anything and everything. These are classic, timeless pieces that your whole family is going to love. They have something for men. They have something for babies and kids, women. They have home products, travel products. Can't go wrong with Quince. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/willcole. for free shipping on your order and a 365-day return. That's quince.com/WillCole, quince.com/WillCole, to get free shipping and a 365-day return. quince.com/WillCole. Man, I'm recording this episode in between consulting patients online here and sipping on a cup of mud water. If you haven't heard about mud water, it's something that I've loved for a long time. We love it here at the clinic. Mudwater, spelled MUD/WTR, Mudwater. It's a healthy habit brand best known for its popular coffee alternative, the Rise Cacao. It's got four functional mushrooms with only a fraction of caffeine as a cup of coffee. You'll get natural energy without the jitters or the crash that coffee can bring us. Each ingredient was added for a purpose. Cacao and chai for hint of caffeine and a hot chocolate-like flavor. Lion's mane for focus. It's a functional mushroom. Cordyceps to promote natural energy. And both chaga and reishi, other functional mushrooms, to support a healthy immune system. Plus, it's Whole30 approved, 100% USDA certified organic, non-GMO, gluten-free, vegan, and kosher. Mudwater donates monthly to support psychedelic research and has since day one. They believe the country is in a mental health epidemic and that psychedelic assisted therapy is one of the most effective tools we have to treat mental health conditions. You can try Mudwater now for $29. That's less than $1 per cup, guys. People spend so much more on things that don't love them back. So you can get this for a great price when you go to the link mudwater.com/WillCole. So go to mudwtr.com/WillCole to start your new morning ritual. That's mudwtr.com/WillCole. You mentioned the cold plunge. I have a cold plunge too. It's a beast, man, to get used to it and work your way up. Like when you do it, what's the temperature time? What's your experience for someone that hasn't experienced the dreaded cold plunge?
I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. I have a love-hate up and down roller coaster relationship with my ice bath. I think I got one like 4 or 5 years ago, but my mom got like obsessed with it forever ago. And she built one at her house next to the jacuzzi, like maybe like 8 or 9 years ago, like before it was cool at all to have one. And I started to love it. And then I got one maybe four
years ago, again, I think kind of before it was really that cool. And I would do it every single morning. I had this routine that I would wake up, I'd do my workout, I would, you know, sauna for 40 minutes, and then I'd get in the ice bath, and I would do all that, you know, super early. And I felt like just like a different human coming out of it. It was the worst 3-4 minutes of the day, but the best, you know, the after feeling was just like ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And then in the recent years, I've like started to listen to different, I've listened to different people like Huberman and other people that have said, you know, it's not great to go into the ice bath right after you worked out or you lifted, and it can hinder, you know, muscle recovery and protein synthesis and different things like that. So then I kind of stopped doing it after my workout, but then I've struggled to find other times in the day that I would want to do it. And so I have to be honest, I have not been on my ice bath game for the last little bit now. And maybe I'm just using that little piece of advice that Huberman said of don't do it after the weightlifting. So now I just don't do it because I hate it so much, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's an easy out for sure. I agree with Huberman in the sense of if you're looking for building muscle, it's not advantageous to building muscle because you want that sort of microinflammation to break down the muscle, build it back up stronger. So if someone's looking to build lean muscle mass, it's not congruent to what you're trying to do with the exercise. But if you're looking for recovery, if you have a hurt shoulder, yeah, inflammation, there's no shame in getting in it. And you could obviously with a cold plunge, you can raise the temperature. It doesn't have to be as cold to get some amazing benefits. Or I've done it where I've woke up and it's a beast again, and not fun to do, but to do the cold plunge first, then work out and kind of warm your body up with, you know, some stretching. But that's not for the faint of heart.
That's tough because I like to first wake up when it's still dark out, and I just, there's nothing, that just sounds awful to go when it's still cold in the morning and it's like get right into the ice bath. I don't know. I applaud you for doing that. That's a tough one.
And I don't do it every day. This is like a couple of times a week, but you mentioned filming. You told me what you're filming. Can you share with everybody what you're filming? And I've never seen it before, but kind of share as much as you can.
Yeah, I can share that I'm filming White Lotus because it's public information. At this point, I can't say anything more or else I'll probably get fired. So it's that's as much as you can get. But it's a show that I'm obsessed with the show. So I'm super excited to be here. But yeah, unfortunately, I can't say anything else.
Yeah, well, it's all right. I mean, I've heard of the show. It's obviously a massive show. Shamefully, I'm sorry, I should have prepped for our conversation. I have never seen it.
No. But This just happened. So it's you have plenty of time to go and check out the other season of it and stuff. It's really amazing. It's an awesome show.
That's cool. So you're there on an island in the middle of Asia. I mean, how you're there for a long time, right?
Yeah, we're here for a long time. Yeah. It's been an experience so far, and I got my mosh bars to get me through.
That's awesome. You know, the podcast is called The Art of Being Well. At the end of every episode, we have your Art of Being Well. This is Patrick Schwarzenegger's Art of Being Well. First question I have is, what is the worst tasting healthy food? It tastes freaking disgusting, but you'll still eat it because it's good for you. It has some health benefits or nutrition science behind it.
Ooh, maybe like spirulina. Like if you get it in the raw form of like, yeah, if you go to the farmer's market, they have it usually like in frozen little cubes or globs, or it's not the best tasting on its own, but man, is that nutritious.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's an acquired taste. That's a good question. You know what? Mine would be, I mean, spirulina, chlorella is up there. Organ meats are another one for me. Like I have to like mix it with ground beef and like mask it, or like the epic cells, like the liver bites. So that would probably be it for me.
I haven't done the liver bites, but I've had like an ancestral blend of meats or something.
Yeah. Force of nature has an ancestral blend. Yeah.
That's what I've had. And it was fine because I cooked it with some, you know, some salt and pepper, you know, I could put some seasoning on it, which was pretty good. And those ingredients were great. And the nutritionals were really great. I bought that and tried that. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that you said Force of Nature, because that's the founder. I was talking to Robbie, who's the founder of Force of Nature. He said exactly what you said about the cost of things, is that when people are educated, they will spend more on good quality things because they know they're people are being educated more than ever about their health, and they don't want crap ingredients. They want to be healthy and support longevity. So it's funny that that came full circle, because he said exactly what you said.
Yeah, it's a great company. And it's, same with like Mark Sisson with, Primal Kitchen and stuff like that. You know, it's like, you know, you do pay for what you get. And for me, I am willing to spend more when it comes to health and wellness and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. And it's balancing, right? It's not like gouging people, but doing everything you can to balance.
No, of course.
Yeah. What is a place that you've gone, you traveled to, that is like still top of your list, like you would recommend someone to go visit?
Oh, wow. I mean, you know, I'm a big lover of America, and we've got so many different places within America that are so beautiful, you know, to see. And I mean, my favorite place to go is always, we have a place in Idaho, and I just love being in the outdoors and in nature and, you know, with the creeks and the lakes and the mountains and the openness, and everything is in the clean, clear air. And, you know, that's my favorite. But I mean, the Grand Canyon is something that's just, when you see it in person, you're just like, you know, but of course I've been to some beautiful beaches and things like that, but yeah, somewhere in the Grand Canyon.
That's amazing. You mentioned Idaho. We have mutual friends, lots of mutual friends. One of them, Lauren Kennedy, she's Jason Kennedy. Yeah. They're always talking about Idaho.
Yeah. And you got to come up there sometime, man. We all have a place up in Northern Idaho. Jason does too. And it's just like, it's unreal up there. You just feel like a different person, especially when you live in LA and you get out to somewhere like there. It's just nature, and just the beauty of it is, it's so amazing there.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to make it out there sometime. What's on your bucket list travel wise? You haven't been, but you like it's on your list.
Maybe the pyramids, like in Egypt or something. I really want to go. I mean, there's a bunch of different wonders of the world that I just really want to go and see, but that's definitely one of them.
Mm-hmm, for sure. What is a book that you've read in the last year? It could be fiction, nonfiction, that's on your book recommendation list.
Well, I just read my dad's book. He just came out with a new book about 2 months ago, Be Useful, or his seven tools to being whatever the subtext is of it. But it was really good. I'm not just saying because it was his book. There are other books of his that I wouldn't recommend. This book was really good. And that, if I were to say a different book besides his, Atomic Habits is always one of my favorite books. It was very helpful to me in building kind of my routines and stack habiting things. And right now I'm reading some, you know, books about acting and film that are probably not as applicable to your audience.
As a craft, you're constantly studying about acting then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm in class every week for the past, 10 plus years and continue to, you know, just as you're continuing to study and learn about your field, you know, so we actors are always, I mean, I don't want to speak for everyone, but I'm always looking at ways to get better and to learn from other people that have been in the game for a lot longer than I have, that have been extremely successful. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different techniques that you can, that have been helpful towards certain people. And, you know, especially when you're on an actual project, building a character and the backstory and, you know, all these different traits about what makes a person, you're kind of creating that and they're living through you. So it's constantly finding ways to do that in a more routine and better way.
Yeah. Do you know what the Enneagram is? And do you know what Enneagram number you are? It's like a personality type.
Maybe it's like one through nine
that you have, like an Enneagram, whatever. You're 1 through 9. There's a number. Have you ever done this before?
I'll send you the test. My mom's had me do it or something, because she always has me do these different things. But are you just curious?
I'm just curious. It's a question I ask some guests. I don't ask everybody. I thought you would know. I thought you would have known, but it's all right. I'll send it to you. You can tell me afterwards.
I'll share it to you.
All right. Last question. Well, one of my last questions is popped in my mind is you have politics on both sides of the family. Do you think at any point in your life that you'll get in it yourself?
Yeah, I love politics. I think that I have a very unique background in politics, because I don't know how much you'll see this anymore in America, but I have two parents that are from the different, from opposite parties. One's a Democrat and one's a Republican, and it made for some really great dinner conversations and still does. But it's a, it was a very unique situation where I felt like I got to really see and hear opposing parties' points of views all the different times without a bias towards it. Well, there was a bias towards it. They both were biased towards their specific party, but then it allowed me to kind of see both sides and come up with my own opinions about things. And granted, my, you know, when I say my dad's a Republican, my mom's Democrat, they're both a little bit more in the middle than, you know, they're definitely not far left, far right. So, but I love politics. I think it's, you know, extremely interesting. And yeah, I mean, I never say that I would never do something in the future, but right now I'm not interested in, you know, spending my life doing that. But down the road, if I felt like I could, you know, impact people and do something that I felt was in a positive way and could help, you know, on a larger scale, then yeah. But right now I love my business and building mods and educating people about brain and body health and doing acting and film.
Yeah, man, you have time. You have time. You have chapters of your career. I see it, man. President Patrick for president. I see it in your future for sure. And you mentioned something that's like so lost. Like you said, it wouldn't happen today. There's so much polarization and toxic tribalism that the word you use for your mom and your dad is moderate within their own parties. Like we need that again for people to come to the middle. And it's like a lost thing. It's like not a thing anymore in politics. It's kind of sad.
I know. It's like, yeah, I have friends that are single, obviously. And it's like, you know, that's part of their dating, you know, checklist is to make sure that they're within the same party as someone else. Like, I just don't think it's probably rare today for it to happen, but things have gotten so polarizing, but it was a really awesome experience to have that from my mom and my dad and to kind of hear both sides and kind of be in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Well, thanks. You stayed up late for me having this conversation. You're across the world right now. Where do people go to learn about Mosh? I have a specific URL for people. It's moshlife.com/Will Cole. They get 20% off, but where else do they go?
No, that's great. I mean, look, we're on, you know, Amazon and other places online. We're starting to go to retail this year, but go to Mosh Life, Will Cole. You get 20% off. That's a better deal than I give my family. So there you go.
Thanks. I mean, hey, it's your team. Moshlife.com/Will Cole. You get 20% off plus free shipping. You get either the bestseller trial pack or the plant-based trial pack. Which one would you get? I mean, obviously one's plant-based or not. Just maybe get both and they can see which one's their favorite.
We do have one that has, you know, an option for multiple different bars that people can get or kind of customizing it. But I'm biased towards the grass-fed whey ones because I eat everything and I prefer that. I also think they taste better, but yeah, there are people out there that are plant-based that
Eat those. So there's grass-fed whey in the regular ones. That's wonderful. I love that.
Yep. And amazing. And normal whey protein crisps, but the actual protein used in it is grass-fed whey. Yeah. Which is, you know, actually surprisingly, grass-fed whey is not much more than standard whey protein. Whey protein has gone up extremely in price over the last 2 or 3 years from COVID. But yeah, you'd be shocked that the grass-fed and finished is not that much more.
That's awesome. All right, everybody, moshlife.com/Will Cole. You get 20% off plus free shipping. Thanks, man. Thanks for staying up and talking with me.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks again for listening to The Art of Being Well. If you have a chance, please rate and review the podcast here. And if you like what you're hearing, hit follow and pass it along to a friend. To see more, head to drwillcole.com/podcast. I'll be back again next Thursday, and I hope you will too. Talk soon.
Please
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.